Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Citizens of Earth and all beings, both extraterrestrial and interdimensional. My name is Danny Roth, and this is Who Won the Week, Sci-Fi Wire's podcast dedicated to the top stories from the week in geek. I am joined this week by my co-hosts and friends, the Blurred Girl, Kara Mahorn, and Sci-Fi Wire's own editor-in-chief, Adam Swiderski. And there's a special guest, Angelique Roche. Angelique, hello.
Hi.
Hey, what do you do?
I am a host and a writer. I actually host over at Marvel and now at Sci-Fi Wire.
What?
Yeah.
You don't say.
Yes, it's the best thing ever.
I passed the Geeksplain torch.
Oh, okay. Yep. All right.
So you're doing
Geeksplain.
It's dramatically improved.
And I've
noticed a dramatic improvement in the Geeksplain product. That's why.
Oh man, do you want to do Untold Story? I bet that would be a dramatic improvement too.
Just
everything can be improved by not having Adam and I be involved.
That is absolutely
a lesson.
Okay, well, bye.
There you go. See you. Okay. Hey. How's everybody doing? How's your week?
Good, not bad. How about you?
I'm doing real good. I bought some jeans at a short person store.
You also visited the Who Won the Week video set this week.
I did. It was myself and the one and only Jackie Jennings, mm-hmm. who sounds like a superhero.
Yep.
And we talked about Hereditary, and we talked about Cloak and Dagger, which we're going to talk about a little bit later. In fact, we've got so many things we're going to talk about. There's a whole bunch of trailers that dropped. Something terrible happened to Kelly Marie Tran over the course of the last 6 months, but we should talk about that. And Cloak and Dagger, which I think we'll probably talk about at the end. But first, we do this thing. We've been doing it for, 70
years,
80.
It feels like.
After 10,000 years, I'm free. Anyway, we do this thing where we talk about what we're personally into in a given week. Adam, I leave it to you. Should we continue doing it?
I suppose.
Okay. With that ringing endorsement.
Yes, exactly.
Karama. What have you been into this week?
A lot of stuff on my week, but I actually think the most fun thing that happened to me was I got a chance to sit down and talk to Simone Missick, who plays Misty Knight on Luke Cage, and she's in Luke Cage season 2.
Did you give her my number?
I did not.
Come on.
She's married to Dorian Missick, who is her husband, who I also interviewed, and I can't share how I know this, but he has something to do with season 2 as well. They're a lot of fun. I'm going to be doing more work with them, and my interview with Teyohadari Coker, the showrunner from Luke Cage, actually just dropped yesterday, so please everybody check that out because it's a lot of fun, and we talk about how a bunch of different things, his musical influences, and how every single... Remember how, like, last season, every episode was named for a Gangstar song? This season, every episode is named for a Pete Rock and CL Smooth song. I almost did it again. My Twitter auto-corrected me yesterday before I went to see a movie. I put out, like, yeah. I tried to say every episode is Pete Rock and CL Smooth, and I was auto-corrected to say Chris Rock and CL Smooth. And then I turned my phone off and went to the movie, and I came out, and people were like, your geekdom has been revoked. Because
as it should be for one type of
thing.
Exactly.
Yes, that's how it works.
So,
yeah. One strike, you're out?
Basically, that's how it happens.
That's on Twitter. Just like the famous sport.
Yes.
I believe that's the tagline. I think that's actually the tagline for the internet. One strike, you're out.
One strike, you're out.
Cool. I can't wait to talk at length about that.
So yes. Who's up next? Who else's week is being won?
I'll go.
All right, fine.
I dug into my Lord of the Rings extended edition DVDs this week to rewatch a little bit of that movie, because at times when things are bleak, I get something out of watching those films because they are very much about perseverance and
just
hope.
You just reach out to Peter Jackson.
Pretty much.
Just very quickly. Did you give him my number?
No.
Come on, man.
No, I'm sorry.
I'm seeing a trend here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But those movies are very much about maintaining hope in the face of darkness. And there are days these days when the state of the world kind of gets to one being me. And so, and in particular, there's a scene in Fellowship of the Ring when they're in the Mines of Moria and Frodo is like saying, you know, I wish I didn't have to deal with this. I wish the ring had never come to me. And Gandalf gives this little speech about, you know, so does everybody who lives through times like these. And we all just have to, you know, believe that there are forces of good out there and everything. And it's a nice little boost to the old hope.
Oh my God, wait, is this a metaphor for sci-fi?
No.
You wish the sci-fi was never given to you?
No, not at all. It's more about the... I won't dive deep into this because we're not, you know...
What have I walked into?
No, we're not a political show, but...
this is the emotional episode of Who Won the Week.
No, well, hey, man, I'm an emotional guy. I'm an emo guy, so, you know, but... anyway, it was a nice little bit of self-care in the larger state of the world sense. So that's what won my week.
Cool.
Thank you, Peter Jackson. Thank you, J.R.R. Tolkien, for those words.
Giving you all the things.
That's right.
There you go.
How about you, Angela?
I got heavy. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. I feel like I just got to know 20 years of you in like 5 minutes. Thank you. We're making this a fast introduction.
We are sharing.
Safe space. I'm actually really excited because of something that's not out yet. I have one of my friends from over at Marvel, Lorraine Sink, who hosts the Earth's Mightiest Show and has been there for a while and does the Marvel Minute, is coming out with a book called Powers of a Girl. It's actually a celebration of 30 women superheroes from Marvel. Yes, there are over 30 women superheroes from Marvel. And I'm really excited because it's basically feminist bent. So... you know, as we're doing our work, and we just had an interview with Francesca Ramsey.
Francesca Lee.
Yeah. And we just talked about the fact it's really hard to find a lot of really positive women superheroes that aren't one-dimensional. And just the fact that there's a book coming out that's written by a woman. No offense, guys. You can totally write things, but it's a different perspective. It's just really awesome to see that there's going to be a book that's coming out during Women's History Month next year, that's going to be a book that girls are going to be able to see. Because like one of the reasons I really got into the work that I do now is because like you had Monica Rambeau, you had Storm, but they were not really well written. Again, women write from a different perspective, but also their
stories don't change their
really
names
told.
So many times.
No, no. Like, can we? Yeah.
This is our personal beef with Monica Rambeau.
Yeah, Monica Rambeau was like 10 names.
Yeah, a.k.a. Lady of Light, a.k.a. Spectrum.
a.k.a. Pulsar.
And the only Captain Marvel I will recognize.
Only, no.
Wow.
I mean, look, I love Carol Danvers. Look, I totally get it.
Can you just let Carol live? She has a cat. Come on.
Can we let Monica Rambeau live?
Does she have a cat?
No.
Then
but that's not bad.
No, she's of course.
But yeah, so it's really awesome to see that there is this multidimensional celebration of women superheroes in a way that is really showing them as people and not just as objects or like a sideline part of an issue where they're like, hey, look at this plot device. Great.
Or being fridged so that the major protagonist has a reason to.
Or, you know, somebody's random girlfriend.
Yep. There you go. Anyway, I don't even have to ask for Lorraine Sink's number. We're friends on Facebook.
Yes!
She's been on the show, so I'm going to ask nothing. Cool.
Lorraine's my pooks. She's going to listen to this now. Cause,
so that's fun, though. Yeah. I didn't know that book was coming out, so that's awesome.
Yeah. No, it was just announced last weekend, and I'm very excited. It's going to be great.
So... I'm not supposed to do that.
No, go ahead.
You were going to give it.
No, please. Absolutely.
Adam doesn't want to know this week. He's like, I've had enough.
That's right.
Danny, what are you geeking out about this week?
Well, I'm so glad that you asked, Karen, because I know Adam wasn't going to. I have a friend who's getting married, and she...
wonderful.
As many people do in my friend circle, she works on the internet. So we all of us weird, nerdy people that make YouTube videos, we were all in a karaoke space. So there are all
this
these
is
people.
Why I didn't ask the question, because I'm bitter and angry about this whole situation.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Right. Your day will come.
Or are you just bitter about marriage?
I wouldn't say I missed it. I would say that I was
not invited,
unaware of it because I was uninformed.
It was karaoke with the people going to the wedding. I'm not going to the wedding. Adam.
Ooh.
But yeah, like let's see.
For those of you who don't know, Adam really, 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 really likes karaoke, and he can sing.
Yes.
So,
yes, he's got a gift. He has a gift. So yeah, who was there? For anybody that likes YouTube videos. Todd in the Shadows, who we've had on a couple times,
his
music reviews. He was there. Jenny Nicholson, who loves Star Wars, but really hates basically all the Star Wars movies that come out. That's not The Last Jedi and The Force Awakens. great videos, by the way. You should watch the one about Solo. I found it very gratifying. Unless you loved Solo, in which case, don't watch that one.
Someone loves Solo?
A lot of people love Solo.
Stop.
Jenny really did not like it. I also did not like it. Most people do like it. Anyway.
Angelique apparently didn't either.
Yes.
I mean, I thought it was a lovely, fun-filled movie.
There you go.
That's like Adam. It was a story that had a beginning, middle, and end.
Yeah.
There were great costumes, and they gave me the Chewbacca that I always wanted. The end.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. A bunch of other people were there, and we all had our go-to karaoke stuff. I jumped into Hedwig and the Angry Inch,
nice.
a personal favorite. We did Origin of Love. It was fantastic. One of my favorite songs of all time. So did a little bit of that. I forget what else we did. That was definitely like, if I was going to pick the one song that I felt like really went off without a hitch, that was definitely the one. A lot of musical stuff.
Who was your Yitzhak?
It was Todd.
Okay.
Todd like jumped in and was like doing it in the background. Like, it was pretty good though. We had a great time. What is everybody's go-to karaoke song? That is my question to you before we proceed into the nerdy things.
Killing Me Softly, Fugees.
Fair. That's a good one.
Everyone likes that one.
Have you ever met a person that was like, I don't like that song? Has that ever happened to you?
Nope. Mm-mm.
That'd be weird. Maybe those people just died.
I feel like they would lie because everyone else seems to start singing the song and you don't want to be that one person in the room who's like, song is awful. Why did you sing it?
That would be really weird. I don't know. I just feel like that's like, I always make the same comparison. That's like if you didn't like the Muppets. Like when someone's like, I don't like Muppets, you're like, I guess you should just, I don't know what to say.
I mean, are you human? Do you have a heart? Do you feel? Like, how do you not like?
That's the one. That is always the one. But like Killing Me Softly by the Fugees, again, it's like, I don't know how anybody. Anyway, Adam, what's your go-to?
Right now, I would say it is All These Things That I've Done by The Killers. Yeah. So either that or Don't You Forget About Me by Simple Minds.
There you go. Do you have any nerdy ones that y'all do? Because I listened to a guy, I walked into this karaoke place and he was singing Rainbow Connection. Like as I walked in, and of course was singing it in a Kermit the Frog voice. Does anybody ever do like really like just straight up like super nerdy? We do a lot of Disney stuff.
I mean, Disney is a big one. Yeah. A lot of the karaoke places I've been to don't really have a particularly nerdy selection.
Interesting.
I mean, the best you're going to get is
nerdy-oki.
Like...
That's why we go to nerdy-oki.
Yeah, the best you're
going to
get is like Flash Gordon, Queen.
Wow.
You know, but,
or the theme to like Greatest American Hero.
That's one. Yeah.
But I don't usually, I have to be really, really inebriated to have the...
Do you karaoke? Do you sing?
If I will pay for the room...
Oh, okay.
For my friends to sing, or I will get drunk. Now, this is the funny thing. I will sing karaoke if it's in Korean. If it's K-pop, I'll probably get drunk and sing.
What?
That is noted.
Oh. It's very random.
It is down in my book.
Yeah.
This is going to happen.
Yeah.
The other thing
in your book? What is this, like Death Note? But for karaoke? It's karaoke note.
You can't see, but I'm literally writing this down.
The other thing I should say is that the thing that would surprise many people about me at karaoke is that I can flow.
Oh, I know
you can flow.
Yeah.
Yes, we've seen you flow.
That's right.
We've seen you flow on set. Like, he's old school rap, like, pulled out death.
So we
got to do my nerdy one, which was Fresh Prince of Bel-Air one time.
I don't even have to look at the screen.
There you go.
This is magic happening.
This
right
might
now.
Happen tomorrow.
Oh,
I told you I'll pay for the room.
American Pie one. And I don't have to look at the screen for that at all.
Tom McLean's American Pie, the whole thing?
Yeah, but no, I mean the Weird Al version.
Oh, the Weird Al version.
Which is about episode one. Right. A long, long time ago, in a galaxy far away, Naboo was under an attack.
Yeah.
And I thought me and Qui-Gon Jinn could talk the Federation into maybe cutting them a little slack.
Actually, the other personal favorite
Angelique.
Thing I'll do is put on
so
Lola.
I'm so excited right now.
Is that I'll put on Lola, and then instead of singing Lola,
I will
sing Yoda.
Yeah.
because I know all the words to that by heart.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yoda. That's
Yo,
so
there
funny.
Is there is a love that Yoda. I have in my heart for Weird Al Yankovic that is
oh, yeah.
that knows no bounds.
One of the better concerts I've been to in the past like 4 years.
Oh yeah, he's honestly. The best.
Because he's an entertainer. Like he's a real
amazing.
Live
Works
actual
his
entertainer.
Ass off on stage just really great.
Yes, he's a personal hero, like legit. I feel like that was like one of the first tapes I ever got was not Nirvana's Nevermind, but Off the Deep End, which was his that had that Nirvana parody on there. Which, by the way, that's how you know Kurt Cobain was an all right dude, because when Weird Al did a song of his, he was like, I actually feel like this is the number one thing that proved that we made it. Like, he's like, I actually feel like a success now. Because Al Yankovic did a parody of my song.
Well, you know, the cool thing is, too, he did one for Hamilton. Like, he literally is so good. He just goes for it. And Lin-Manuel Miranda was the same way. He's like, sure, come do it. It's going to be amazing.
Like, at this point, if you're upset that Weird Al wants to touch your stuff, that's the same thing as the
but
Muppets thing.
But
like,
there's always somebody.
You really need to examine your chest
your
cavity.
It's really weird.
Like,
you just need to check in.
Is your heart three sizes too small?
Yeah.
At least. All right. Anyway.
That's just because you go to the short people store. It's better.
I feel so emboldened by these tiny pants. It's so great.
You guys look very confident right
Danny
now.
Danny has tiny pants. I'm
that's
never.
True. I am.
That
I am,
hashtag.
I feel like there needs to be a song, Danny Has Tiny Pants. And I
and
just
you know
met
what?
You, so
there
I'm going to stop now. But I really feel like it would be amazing.
Yeah,
the amazing shrinking man, but Danny Has Tiny Pants.
It's going to be, it's going to have a really weird twist that we can't talk about on the podcast. We try to keep it, you know, respectable. Respectability here on Who Won the Week. Anyway, hey, guys. Hey, people. Everybody.
Segway.
Y'all. Do you like trailers? Movie trailers? Do you like them? Anyway, let's talk about them no matter what. It doesn't matter what
Danny,
your response is.
Danny's sitting here like LeBron, like, go that way, go that
way. Yes, that's it. Yeah. I'm definitely like, yes, I'm making that face, right?
And I'm the Roomba of the podcast.
Yeah, I'll do the Will Smith one too. Anyway, so movie trailers, a whole lot of them came out. I'm going to tell you right now, spontaneously, we're all going to pick one that we really liked. Totally spontaneous. We didn't talk about it before the podcast started at all. And it's all that everyone is going to have a different choice because we're just that good. And I didn't force everybody to make a choice.
Why do I have Oprah in my head going, you get a trailer and you get a trailer and you get a trailer?
This is the story we're telling everybody.
There you go. All right. Adam, what trailer did you watch that you liked?
Spontaneously,
I decided to watch and enjoy the Bumblebee trailer.
Now we know
See,
he's
that's
lying.
Totally believable.
Now we know he's
because
lying.
I'm a huge fan of the Transformers film
yes,
franchise.
Yes.
No,
that's
I'm
true.
Not really, but
I mean, honestly,
we occasionally bring on Lindsay Ellis, like queen of the Transformers
yes,
universe.
Yes,
so yes.
I will say, as someone who, to be honest, I have never been a fan of the Transformers cinematic franchise, other than the animated
Adam, I'm
film
with you there.
From the 80s.
yes, the animated film was everything.
Yeah, which blew my mind when I was 11 years old. But this Bumblebee trailer actually looks pretty cool because
I like it.
They're going in a completely different direction. They're doing this whole E.T. vibe of, you know, Haley Steinfeld finds a car and fixes it up, and oops, by the way, it's a Transformer. And, it's a more intimate looking thing. It's got that whole, you know.
There's a lot of touching.
Yeah.
A lot of touching of the car.
Why did you have to make it like that?
No, I was going for the innocent. Like I found
really
a friend from another
zero
world.
0 to 100.
But,
have you met me?
Well, now I enjoyed that trailer a lot less.
Yeah. Plus, I just feel like we just fell right off a cliff.
But storyline wise, do you feel?
Yeah. No, I dig that, and I think that, and also we saw Starscream, which was really
yes.
cool.
Yes.
Very cool looking Starscream. So
looking a little bit more like the Starscream of yore.
Yeah, it's the first. I mean, honestly, like I was really psyched for the first Transformers movie because I'm a big giant robot fan in general. I'm like, you put giant robots fighting, and I'll like it. And that proved me wrong for the first time. But
because Michael Bay.
Yeah, but I'm actually looking forward to seeing this movie. I think that there's a lot of potential there, and you know, making it this smaller thing where it's just one robot, one human, a lot of touching. Now I can't.
Lord.
Unsee that. Thank you.
Oh my God.
No, I think that there's a lot of potential there for more coherent storytelling with a more just like contained plot and giant robots. You know,
I thought the Rickroll part was funny.
Yes.
That was what I, yeah, I was, that was kind of the one thing that stuck, besides the touching. That was the
also,
one thing
I just
that stuck
wanted her to have more of a reaction to the fact that the car transformed.
Well, it's a trailer. I mean, I'm guessing in the film there will be more of a reaction than just like, you know.
One would hope.
Yeah.
Maybe, yeah, you're right. They might have cut it. Like, maybe she screams after
maybe
he does it. We just didn't see
herself.
It.
We don't know.
We don't know.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that didn't happen.
I don't know. I haven't seen the film.
No,
there is urinating in Transformers movies. That's like a thing.
I mean,
it's
that actually is,
but it's always
thing,
like oil and gasoline.
Oil.
Right.
Is it me or is
oil.
It supposed to be 80s? Is it supposed to take place in the 80s
yeah.
or is it supposed to be
no,
they
no,
just
it's,
have
it's,
an 80s
it's
car?
It's based in the 1980s.
Yeah,
okay. It's a prequel.
Yep.
Okay. You see? Yeah, I don't know. It looks like what if Iron Giant but Transformers?
That's right.
So sounds good.
You know, I didn't think about that. You're an Iron Giant fan.
I'm a huge Iron Giant fan.
Okay.
So that's part of maybe that's why
I actually listened to your geek explain about Iron Giant.
Oh, did you really?
I did.
I'm sorry you had to sit there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Just notice he said that. I was fine with the episode.
I own it. I own my failure. But anyway, so moving on from me then.
Yeah.
And the trailer that I spontaneously picked all by myself.
Proud of you.
Yeah.
How about you, Angelique?
Well, I spontaneously picked a Marvel trailer.
What?
Wow.
Really? That's amazing.
Oh my God. I just went, that one. And it was Spider-Man.
Corporate synergy.
So I am really excited about the Spider-Verse. One, because if anybody is a Spider-Man fan or a Spider-Woman fan or a Silk fan or anything
Gwen
that involves
Spider-Gwen.
Yeah.
Right. Anything that involves, you know, somehow someone getting the powers of a spider that allows them to fly through the air in some city.
Yeah. Somebody even likes Kane out there. Somewhere out there, there's a Kane fan.
Somewhere out there, there's also someone who's excited about the Venom movie. But that's not the point.
Whoa.
I'm going to hold those feelings and put them in my back pocket.
Yikes.
But what I am excited about is the Spider-Verse. It looks amazing. And when I say that, I mean, it's not just because you see high-flying acrobatics going through the air, that the fact that he's wearing sneakers and he bounds off of a building. But in this new trailer, you get to see a little bit more of Miles Morales, which is the cool thing I think about Miles Morales is that he's a kid. You even in his YA novel, you get to see him in high school. You get to see him being from Brooklyn and you get to meet his parents. And so I think it's interesting because it's really showing how he's a high school student and how he's got the same problems. He's got a messy room. He's got a dad who's like, tell me you love me. But he also happens to be Spider-Man. And I'm actually...
That scene was hilarious.
That scene is...
He's like, really?
Tell me you love me.
Like,
yeah,
right here?
Yeah.
You dad, see. Drop me off at school. Like, right? Really?
Can you just let me go? Can you let me live? That's all I can hear in his head is like, dad, can you let me live? In front of everybody, though, a.k.a. my father. But then he
says it. And then he goes, copy that. So good. So good. Yeah. What a set. Like, that was my favorite. Like, I mean, well, second favorite part of the whole trailer. But.
Well, and what I like about it is the first trailer, it's kind of like, oh, okay, what is this about? And then this one, you're like, oh, wow, Peter is doing this generations thing where we're teaching you how to be Spider-Man. So it's like, why are there more than one Spider-Man? Why can't you just have Miles have his own movie? And now I really get it. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I like the fact that Gwen Stacy's in it. It was a really big surprise that comes at the end of the trailer. And I was just really excited. And then I was like, mega excited. Like, Gwen Stacy.
If you told me all the people that would play Peter Parker in voiceover, I would not have pegged Jake Johnson.
I didn't dislike it,
but I was just like, huh.
I'll take
it. He's the guy from The New Girl, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, he's fine. He's
and good. I'm also excited about Mahershala Ali being in the movie.
He's going to be prouder.
Yo, I love his voice. And I know we kind of talked about this early in the week. Like, everybody's like, Donald Glover. It's like, I love Donald Glover. Caveat. I think it's great.
For those who don't know, Donald Glover played Aaron Davis, a.k.a. the Prowler, in Spider-Man Homecoming. He did not become the Prowler. He was just...
He was there,
Miles's
and
uncle.
It was alluded.
He was there, and there was an allusion to the fact that Miles existed in the Homecoming universe.
Yep, and that was the part where Donald was there, and he had his hand. He's basically a criminal. Let's just leave it at that. He is what he is.
He a thief.
Yeah, he is what he is. he's always been that. He will always be that. But I'm actually really glad they went with Mahershala because he's got such an amazing voice.
Yeah.
And I'm very excited to kind of, because we didn't hear him in the trailer, but I'm really excited to see how that turns out. So, needless to say, I'm very excited about this movie, and I think it's going to be amazing.
It was good. I personally hope that most of the movie is Peter and Miles, and then like maybe halfway through bring in Gwen. And then after all of that, if they want to play this game where they show like Spider-Ham and like,
yeah,
like Ben Reilly.
Oh my God.
Kane,
if Peter Parker, the Spectacular Spider-Ham shows up, I will just,
oh my God.
I mean, like, this is what I'm saying. I feel like they should sort of reveal at the
end. How do you even bring in
this?
The Spider?
I didn't read the 2009 Spider-Verse. So I have to like do some homework to see this universe. I know the characters separately, but I don't know them in the Spider-Verse
because
I didn't read that run. So I'm trying to figure out, because I did the same thing when it first came out. Like, why do we need two? But he even says it in the thing. He's like, the universe that you know is not the only universe.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay. So there's some time jumping happening.
Well, and it's also
introducing
a theory that generally isn't talked about within the MCU and within a lot of the other Marvel co-branded movies, is that you really don't talk about the fact that there's multiple. Like, we don't get into that theory. We generally
in the comics
sit
they
in
do,
one. Yeah.
Yeah,
like in the actual like cinematic, it just hasn't been. I hope they don't mess it up. Like, I really hope they don't mess it up. That's my only thing. Is like, when you introduce too many characters, there's that.
Yeah, there's always a risk, but we'll see. That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think they need to have everybody at once. They can stick to just like the couple right here, and then like
at the end have like that mega scene.
At the end have like that idea that like, yeah, there's like way more of them, and like just like have that be like a cameo kind of thing more than anything else.
Yeah.
I don't think you need everybody else. Like, I think if you got Pete, if you got Miles, if you got Gwen, like, you've ticked some quality boxes there. Like, I don't know that you really need to spend a ton of time on any of the other people in that world that are also, like, I guess if you want to get Silk in there, but like, I guess?
I mean, honestly, I will tell you that when I first saw the trailer, I was like, but why can't we just have Miles? Why can't Miles just have his own movie? Why do we have to? But that's how I feel about Miles Morales.
That's fair. That's just me. That's fair.
I also think that this movie, it's going to be a feature length. So it's going to be definitely 2 hours, which DC has always done a little bit better than Marvel. So I'm hoping that this really, I mean, looks really, 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 really good.
Yeah.
So
it looks really pretty.
It does. I think animation-wise, I kept thinking I should have 3D glasses on when I was watching it, but.
But I liked how they're incorporating like the comic book elements.
Yes.
The little.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was great.
It's very good.
Anyway, hey, Karima, what spontaneous trailer did you pick?
Yes, I spontaneously picked the Lego Movie 2, the second part, because redundancy is my forte. Basically, Lego Movie 2 is set 5 years after the fateful Taco Tuesday, which is how the last movie ended. And we're back with Emmett and his happy self. But basically, Bricksburg looks a little bit like a post-apocalyptic wasteland kind of thing, a little Mad Max happening. And then an alien arrives spinning, apparently rapping Intergalactic by the Beastie Boys. Wait, Adam, could you do that at karaoke? Intergalactic? Okay. So put that in your book, Angelique.
Wow, it's Intergalactic. Going in the book. Also, there's going to be like 5 stars next to it because I need to see this.
So, and an alien kidnaps some of Emmett's friends, and basically there's a huge rescue mission. So this is basically a rescue movie and dealing with aliens and things like that. Honestly, they're bringing more, if you're a Lego collector and fan, they're bringing more of their toy line into this movie. So you're going to lose your mind because all of the things are there. There's even, you know, Disney princesses and superhero girls and all kinds of things that get brought into this. There's a lot of Disney princesses this week, I feel.
I mean, I feel like I see an R&D board of them like going through the actual structure of this movie. They're like, who else can we throw in?
Exactly.
Look, Stephanie Beatriz is going to be the alien. That's what I know.
That's
Rosa Diaz from Brooklyn Nine-Nine, in case people were unaware.
I have read that there is a nod to Planet of the Apes in this movie, but I didn't see it
in the beginning. They had the.
I mean, I literally
Statue
just got
of Liberty
excited.
Oh, the Statue
very,
of Liberty.
Very first shot.
Okay, for some reason, I'm thinking
it's
actual
very,
it's apes.
Quick,
it's,
yeah, yeah.
Okay, that's what it was. I didn't catch that.
I had a lot
of
feels about Planet of the Apes, so this now makes me interested in going to see the movie.
You should see the first one though, so
and
you
they,
understand.
They do
they
mention
are.
The Sistar system, which I guess probably means that the I can't remember the name of the kid from the first Lego movie, but it's like his sister gets involved somehow.
Ah, got it.
I mean, that's my theory anyway.
What about the Sinistar system?
I love the game Sinistar, but I doubt that has anything to do
with
the Lego
Movie
2.
I just want Sinistar to show up.
Yeah.
And maybe he'll break the internet.
Are Lord and Miller directing this again?
I know they're involved. I don't know what they're. They said it was the team.
The team, yeah, but I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't know if they've actually. I don't know if they've actually said what everybody's like designation is in the whole thing.
Because that was the thing. Is like I watched this trailer and I was like, eh. But the Lego movie, the first Lego movie trailer, nobody was like, oh my God, I can't wait to see this Lego movie. It was after it came out. People were like, actually, this is a really good movie, you know? And so it'll be interesting to see if that happens again.
But a lot of the voices are back. Chris Pratt is Emmett, as usual. Chris Pratt stays working.
Chris Pratt is on that real hustle.
Yeah. Channing Tatum, Will Arnett, Tiffany Haddish, Charlie Day, who was also, by the way, in Hotel Artemis, which I saw last night. So yeah, I'm excited because it's going to be fun. And people who are fans of Lego are totally going to love this movie. And kids are going to ask for every single toy that comes on the screen.
I mean, just kids?
No, okay. Kids and Angelique will all be looking at all the toys that are basically...
My home office is surprisingly full of toys. So.
Mine is full of weird, creepy old Blu-rays. Creepy old movies.
And
speaking of creepy movies.
And little pants.
Creepy old movies. How about that? Perfect. Yes. Yeah, so my office is full of horror movies. And so very randomly, I chose, just so happened to choose, I was going to do Suspiria, but then right before we recorded the podcast, the Halloween trailer dropped. And if there is one movie that is more influential than Suspiria, it is definitely John Carpenter's Halloween. I think easily probably still the most important slasher movie ever made. It is one of the greatest films ever made in my mind. I love, love, love the original so much. And as is pretty storied and well known, there really aren't any sequels to that movie that quite live up.
How dare you?
Like the second one.
Halloween 3 Season of the Witch is a stone classic.
Here's the thing. It is like now
it has
people.
Absolutely nothing
now
to do with the
rest like
of the
it, and it has nothing to do with
and
with,
thus
with,
Danny gets
with
dragged
Mike
on Twitter.
Myers.
Wait, that's the. Anyway, it's a different guy. Anyway, so yes, I really like the original. I think that one of the best art house horror movies to come out in the last 10 years is It Follows, which is a straight up. Deconstruction of the original Halloween. So I just like that idea that there is this force that is always following you all the time that represents death and represents, like, I don't know, just like that idea, that very real anxiety that, like, you could be walking home late at night and someone's behind you. You know that you're scared immediately. Is this the one? Is this going to be the person? Like, that fear, I feel, is so perfectly... encapsulated in the original Halloween.
That got dark really fast.
Yeah, I don't do horror because I can't do it. And that trailer scared the crap out of me.
I think I'm gonna have nightmares. Thank you.
You're welcome.
You achieved your goals.
Yeah, that's it. I do it every day.
I think
the creepiest person you know.
H2 Judgment Day.
Wow.
That's what they should have called it. Because I got a very Terminator 2 vibe.
Wow.
Out of this one.
That's interesting.
You know what? I do agree. The one thing I did like about the trailer is that Jamie Lee Curtis is like, I am going to get my retribution. And I think, you know, one of the things about horror movies is like women were not always the most well represented. But in this one, she's like, nah, dude, I've been waiting my whole life to kill you. Come on.
Listen,
bring it.
She's in the original movie. Let me just say. She stabs that dude with her knitting needle. So I like that. My wife is a knitter. My wife is a tailor. So we both have a real fondness for that moment.
I can't even go after you for that. Like that's like, oh, okay.
It's cool. It's a cool moment. Okay. Listen, I agree. I think that is what's sort of exceptional. Like what an interesting parallel, right? You've got this very young Jamie Lee Curtis in the original sort of becoming aware of the concept of like the inevitability of death. And now she, and like at that point, completely unprepared. And now here she is as a much older woman. And she is like, come, you come right now. I am ready for you.
Bring it.
So it's cool. It's
She's like, the bus crashed. Let's do this.
Yeah. And I love that. And it
like,
looks,
this is
it
what's
looks
happening
great.
Next.
But it's also cool because you also see the evolution of her as an actress as well. Like, I think that's also
that's an interesting
evident.
Part of the cultural zeitgeist, isn't it? To be aware, because it's not like people don't know who Jamie Lee Curtis is. Like, she made that movie and then disappeared. You know what I mean?
Like, she like has this long track record, but it's like this closing of the loop, I think, with her.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, like, she did a couple horror movies like right at the top of the start of her career. But Halloween is definitely the one that people know.
Absolutely.
Her. her for. And yeah, I just think it looks really stellar. And yeah, I enjoy a lot of the less good Halloween movies, but I will say that personally, like, Halloween 2 is fine. It gets a little boring. And then, like, Season of the Witch is something completely different. And then, like, they go into that weird, like, oh, he's immortal. He's like this thing that, like, there's a cult that exists for him. And then, like, they let that go for a while. And then they do H2O and Resurrection, which are kind of, like, goofy. And then Rob Zombie comes in and he does the thing where it's like, when white people are poor, they kill people. And I'm like, I mean, I guess that's true. But, like, I don't know if I need to see a movie about it. Like, I don't know what
to
say.
Wait, I have a question, though. Wait, I have many questions.
Wait, I'm sorry.
He loves doing redneck horror movies. Like, that's his thing. That is all. As, like,
but you
every
personified
Rob
it so well in, like, six words. Thank you.
Yeah, welcome. You're very welcome. So, yeah, it looks really good.
But my question is, at the end, is Rob Zombie one the latest one? Because I'm clearly I'm not watching
this movie. The last two that came out were Rob Zombie
affiliated. This next one that's coming out is not a continuation of that. It's just another telling.
So you've got the
first. Because he's dead, he's immortal, he comes back, he's not, he's a mental patient. Like,
so here's the timeline. Every single one of them has the first movie. The first movie counts in all of them. Then you have.
It's Yahtzee.
Part two.
Yahtzee.
And then part two goes through, I think, like part six or something like that, right? Like, those are all together. And then, like, but like. 3, 4, 5, and 6, like, those get tossed aside. Then you do H2O and Resurrection, which only account for Halloween's 1 and 2. And then there's Rob Zombieverse, which is a completely different thing. And now there's this new movie that only counts the original.
Okay, so
only
this is
the first one.
This is Final Fantasy. That's
so
what this is.
So what you're saying is I need a flowchart to figure out what's going on.
No, just see the first movie and then see this and you're good.
And then you're good.
The flowchart. Before this, you would have needed a flowchart.
Now you don't need the flowchart.
So somebody came back and said, okay, I'm going back to the classic. Yeah.
This is too complicated.
Okay.
We're throwing this out.
Okay.
Yeah, they even got rid of the idea that, like, he was her brother.
Right.
Like, even that they're saying in the trailer is not true. So, like, yeah, they're just, like, throwing the whole thing out.
Okay.
And trying to get to the essence of what Michael Myers or the Shape is, like, what he represents and the difference between, yes, a young woman and now this much older woman. That's what I get. That's the vibe I got off the trailer. I am ready for it. I think it looks really great. Anyway, so those are the trailers. We did a great little trailer roundup. Good job, everybody. So spontaneous.
We should do that spontaneous stuff.
What I'm really
all
impressed
the time.
With is that none of us picked the same one.
Yes, that was amazing.
Fascinating.
Unbelievable.
Yeah,
I would have thought for sure.
Like, completely unplanned.
Hey, anyway, so, and just like that is unplanned, this also, and now this. So, hey.
Now for something completely different.
Everybody likes Kelly Marie Tran, except for a bunch of people that apparently don't. So, Kelly Marie Tran, who played, well, hold up. Okay. There are nice people. There are nice basements out there. Hashtag not all basements. So, here's the deal. Kelly Marie Tran, nice lady, played Rose Tico in Star Wars. The Last Jedi has spent the last, I don't know, 6 months enduring some sustained harassment and abuse from people that didn't like Rose Tico, to put it mildly and to say it in the most basic way before we get into the more complex nature of that. And then she was like, I've had enough. And she quit Instagram
first.
And then was basically like, I'm out. And the only thing that has sort of really happened in response to that by the end of the week is that a hashtag showed up, which was fan art for Rose.
No, but also Rian Johnson and Steven Spielberg both.
And Mark Hamill.
Hamill spoke out, I think, first because he's very social media savvy.
So, yes, there's been a response to it. But this is like we should talk about this specific instance. But I think also the thing to address is that this is a part of a very ongoing problem that we still haven't quite figured out a way to deal with it. We don't really know what to do.
Yeah.
Like, as a civilization, we just haven't figured it out. So thoughts on this specifically? Anybody have anything they want to say specifically about Kelly Marie Tran and her experience in this specific instance?
Well, I think it's hard, right? Because she is a lovely person. She is nothing but smiley. And I think even the character of Rose kind of personifies this idea of hope and personifies this idea of integrity and honesty and standing your ground and, like, fighting for the good fight for the right things. And it blows my mind that in this case, for some reason, people just targeted her and pointed her out. And it's not saying that other people obviously are not getting mail. People's fandoms are like a big deal to them. People have feelings. But, you know, she hasn't yet to speak, right? Like, she has yet to come out. She hasn't said anything publicly. She's just like, I'm out. Like, I'm done with this. And I think what I've seen, besides the folks who have come forward and talked about it, is the fans are like, yo, this is wrong. A lot of fans who even like, I didn't like the movie, but this isn't right, have really come out to speak out against, you know, this being a way that we shouldn't be acting in general as people. Regardless of what your fandom is, regardless of what your background is, just as people, the people behind your characters are human and they have feelings. And there's a point where things just get toxic.
Yeah, and also, you don't own them. You don't own the characters. You don't own the story. You don't own the people.
I think they don't even own them.
Right, exactly. So the toxic fandom, I think also specifically against women, because you know I'm going right back to Leslie, and that's in my head. Mm-hmm. But I just think that, and I think a lot of people, several people in my timeline had said, oh, well, this is not all Star Wars fans. This is literally a select few. I said, yes, but unfortunately, I just did an interview with actually Saladin Ahmed, who said this. Sometimes a drop of poison in a clear glass of water is all it takes. So unfortunately, a lot of the nastiness that was directed on her, and people think it was like one or two tweets, and I've been trying to explain to people, like, Instagram, you can DM people without knowing them. So she's literally targeted all day, every day. And the Wikipedia, yeah. Yeah, so it's one of those things where, even though, yes, there was a lot of Star Wars fans are saying, this is not actually, they're not real fans. I was saying, but there's not enough real fans going to these terrible people and saying, stop. Like, just like there's all these en masse people saying, I hate this movie, there aren't enough en masse fans going to the anti-fans saying, you know what? We don't do this.
But there's nothing you can do to stop it. I mean, that's the real... The thing I want to say is, like, if a primary component of your fandom of anything is anger, then you need to really look at how you approach entertainment as a whole. Like, you know, we are all geeks here, and we all love this stuff, but, like, man, I remember when Episode 1 came out, and
oh my God.
No, like, a lot of Star Wars fans were really upset with him and didn't like it. Yep.
Remember that.
None of us that I remember speaking to in that time were like, now I must destroy this thing and everyone involved with it.
Yep. Yeah.
We were like, I hope they do better next time. It was not this mentality of like, now this thing must be destroyed because they didn't do it the way I wanted
Burn
to. And I don't know when that became a thing. But man, that if anyone out there listening, if that's how you feel about this stuff, you just really need to examine yourself and the way that you approach the things that you ostensibly love, because that's not what love is.
No one
involved in anything. I mean, listen, I am not a Zack Snyder fan as a director. I have gone to town on him as a director in this podcast from time to time. But on a personal level, would it ever occur to me to try to ruin his life? Never in
you
a
like
million
contact
years.
Contact him in some way.
Yeah, like
try to
I don't
like
know.
Tweet at him and be like, "Hey,
what?
I hate you personally.
I hope you die." And that's the
no,
thing
she
that
had
people
following her. It was terrible.
Well, and here's the thing that people don't get. And again, this happened in another case with another interview. Like people actually, the things that they say to women, and I think that's also something that we have to really acknowledge is that, you know, there's one thing when you say you wrote a really horrible script or director, you directed this horribly. But the things that people say to women, like I've seen some of these DMs where like you should die or I'm going to assault you or, you know, I wish you were never born. Like it is such a personal, visceral, under the skin attack.
Yeah.
Like
if she just said and women of color and particularly and she's basically the person with the most star power in that movie that is considered
that is a woman of color. And I think it's interesting because people, it's a difference between saying, I hate how you acted in this, you were horrible in this movie, and this movie was just complete load of bull marky, and saying, oh, I hope you die. And they
deport your family and you don't see anybody, you know, anybody that you love again. Like really, really horrible, nasty, personal stuff that unfortunately, I want to say that this has definitely shown a light on an ugly part of fandom, and I want to say that this, maybe her stepping away will make some people change their ways. But the sad thing is, I don't think it will, and that's the part that's frustrating. So I don't know how to solve this.
Yeah.
Well, I don't, and I hate to say it, I don't think this is isolated to fandom, and I wish it was. I think this is people who think they can be behind a computer screen who would never say some of this stuff in public and go after folks.
But I do think, you know, and people say, oh, these people aren't real fans. I think we need to get away from that as well, because this is, I think this is like a cancerous version of fandom, and it is part of what we do. As much as we don't want to acknowledge it, like we have this level of dedication and love for these things and interest in these things and passion about these things. And this is the dark side of that. And I think that, you know, it is coming from our community. And I'm not saying that we have to police like every single person. You can't do that. There's going to be assholes and racists and misogynists on the internet. Like, good luck squashing that forever. But like, but I think that it's just acknowledging that, like, that aspect of fandom, just that level of hurt that comes when things don't go the way that you want them to, or that things are changing, like, needs to we need to examine that and move away from it as a whole, I think, just because this is the cancerous metastasization of that aspect of fandom.
Well, and I mean, that's the reason why at cons you have big signs that says, please don't touch someone in cosplay unless you have
cosplay
permission.
Cosplay is not consent.
Cosplay is not consent. Like, that's,
I just, and this
that,
is going like, to sound
that,
very.
That is
gonna,
because someone's touched someone. Like, the rule didn't just pop up.
It sounds, this is going to sound very old of me, but I feel like in the last, like, 12 years, it's like, who are your parents? Like, why is the fact that this movie didn't go the way you did the worst thing that's ever happened to you? Like, who is, like, why are you, why are there no consequences or repercussions for your, for things that happened in your life that this is your reaction?
Especially because of the time we live in now.
Yeah.
If you don't like the Star Wars movie that came out, guess what? There's a Deadpool movie out. There's an Avengers movie out. There's 15 sci-fi shows on television.
There's 357 taking care of Hell's Kitchen at this moment on Netflix. Like, everything, why can't you watch that?
I imagine you said 367 now.
There's just so much stuff
out
there,
every day,
man.
Of the week, plus another weekend.
And there's no need to, like, again, like, I don't particularly love Arrow, but I'm not going to go after Stephen Amell. Like, exactly. I don't know what that is. Like,
I don't either.
I have a lot of feels about Arrow, but that's a whole other conversation.
You're not trying to kill him.
Yeah.
No. Like, no. Because I just go watch The Flash.
Exactly. There you go.
But I really do hope she comes back. I hope once it dies down that we do see her come back to social media in some way, shape, or form. Yeah. She didn't deserve that.
She's probably better off.
Okay. Well,
how do you feel about it?
I feel a lot of ways about it, because I can't, like, it's not, this thing is not isolated, right? So, all right, so there's this other thing that is not science fiction related, but I think you'll see where I'm going, hopefully, in a second. There were two very famous people that committed suicide this week. Two people that were successful people in their fields. Kate Spade.
From the outside looking in.
You know, and Anthony Bourdain, which we just, from the perspective of this podcast, like, we just heard about this morning. And what I saw repeatedly was people bringing up a statistic. And the statistic is this. Since 1999, suicide has gone up 30% in the West. 30%. And I'll ask you in your mind to think, what happened between 1999 and now?
Social media.
And social media is a huge, huge part of it. And this has been weighing on my mind for a really long time. This is a thing that Jordan and I talk about a lot, which is that, like, the temptation of social media it's not just that people can say whatever they want, but it's that there's always going to be that thing that pops up that says, like, one more tweet, two more tweets, three more tweets, whatever it is. It's always an opportunity to refresh. It's always going to be there. It's always going to be going nonstop. And you're going to keep expecting that, like, that next bump that's going to come in is going to be the story that makes you feel better, or, like, the thing that's going to make you feel outraged the way you want to feel outraged, or whatever it is that you want to feel. But it's never that. It's never going to give you what you want. It's only going to ultimately get you lost. And this is a thing that is just, like, I don't know. I look at the state of social media and I look at the way that we use it, and it makes me think of this. There's an episode of Doctor Who called The Zygon Inversion, And they have these two boxes, right? The doctor is presented for the Zygon leader, Lygella, and for Kate. And it says truth or consequences. And he's talking about like what these things represent. And then at one point he says, this is a model, right, for war. And I said, that's what the internet is. Like, that is what it's the scale model of war. We are constantly on campaigns. We are at war with each other every second of the day, and it never stops.
And if somebody has or suffers from depression on a regular basis, and for real, if you are suffering from depression, there are numbers you can call. There's help that you can give. We are not doctors, but I'm just saying that if depression is a real thing, so you have to stop saying, oh my God, that they were so successful. Why? They had so much to live for. Why? Because that's not how depression works.
Right.
You can't see that success. You can't see, you don't see the world the way everybody else sees it. So the judgment of also people with, you know, mental issues around depression and things like that has to be reexamined, because social media can feed into depression, and there are people that could be spiraling right in front of you, but you're not helping. You would never know. So maybe for her health, for her mental health, getting off
of course.
Social media might be a better thing, like Adam said.
Well, it's the thing that people forget, that social media is also addictive. Like people, like we, when people think of addiction, they think of drugs, they think of alcohol, but how many of us have sat there and we've tweeted something out and we're like, okay, did anybody respond? Okay, did anybody respond? Or have looked at our phone and there's no text. Like this, because of the stimulation that we get from likes and the stimulation we get from retweets and all that, it's literally this carrot and stick mentality in a lot of people's brains.
I've been in a place where there's no Wi-Fi. And people losing it because they can't.
I mean, anybody... Yeah.
I struggle with it. I struggle with that. But look, here's what I'll say. That Doctor Who episode, right? It's this idea where like you've got one side and the other side, and what is it the doctor says? He talks about the thing that he's been through personally, but he says, look, this is the thing, right? How many people, how many communities have to be shattered? How many families must be broken until we did the thing we were always going to have to do from the start? Sit down and talk. And this is the thing that has been lost, right? I'm very mad. I'm mad that like this thing that happened with Kelly Marie Tran is part of an ongoing problem wherein there is like this huge element of racism, white supremacy specifically, right? Like that is a thing. And like I am so angry at those people. I'm furious all day, every second of the day about it. But like at some point, we've got to sit down and figure out what is happening. Why is this happening? What?
Right.
Otherwise, we're all like that's it. Like if you say like, what is it? What is that line he says? He says, talking is just talk is a fancy word for saying change your mind. And Lygella says, I will not change my mind. He says, then you will die stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing is like, at this point, like, I don't know how to fix it, but this thing we're doing now, we are screaming at each other every second of the day nonstop, and we have the tool to do it. It's like, we're all going to die stupid. That's where we're headed right now. Like, I'm glad that Kelly Marie Tran left. I'm glad that she got out. But the thing is, like, these people came in and created this thing, social media, right? And like nobody, when it comes to technology, we always think, can we, not should we? And now it exists. We can't just, it's not going to just be gone.
No,
going to happen. So like, listen, we eventually figured out how to deal with the advent of radio. We have kind of figured out how TV works, sort of. We've managed to exist with that. We are going to have to find a way to make it so that this woman and so many other people don't feel like they have to run screaming into the night, because it's just too goddamn scary. And that we aren't going to have to feel like if we look at this thing, it's going to make us lose all perspective of what reality is. Like, it's, I don't know.
The podcast that you did with Francesca Ramsey recently at Marvel was spoke to this.
Yeah.
Because she talked about,
well, they actually,
that whole conversation you guys had was amazing.
In Francesca Ramsey's case, they actually made a petition to get for Francesca Ramsey committed. Like, there are people who just create YouTube channels just to get and harass Francesca. And I think you make a very good point here, but the end of the radio is unilateral. TV is unilateral. social media is a constant conversation that, and I hate, you know what, I don't hate, there's no balance in the force. There literally is. No. When you look at social media, nobody is railing it in. Nope. And it was the wild, wild west. When the internet started, it was the wild, wild west, and people wanted it to be like that. So all the stopgaps, all the controls that could have been put there to make things civil were never put in place. Right. And as much hope as you
the
have
horses,
that we're going
to... The horses have left the barn and we're trying to...
Well, we have... Well, the thing is, we don't... Okay, so...
We're trying to get the barn.
Either we have... Like either you say we have the ability or we don't. Like, this is the thing. Is like, if I wake up and say, it's all pointless, then it's over. Right? But if I wake up and say, some way, somehow, we have it within us. Like, I...
So you're talking about personal accountability.
I'm just saying, like,
but I mean,
like,
that's
a part
of it. That's a part of it. But, like, I do, part of the personal accountability is to wake up and say, yes, I, as an individual, have it within me to use this thing in a way that is thoughtful and respectful and patient and kind. Like, that there is an ability within each of us to do that. Now, how that translates to a full community of people that all have very disparate opinions, where, yes, absolutely, you're right. Like, I have friends, too, that are have a large presence online, and there are YouTube channels dedicated to, like, people, like, getting them arrested, people, like, trying to, like, get them, just tear them down in any way possible. Like, you know, we talked about this before it started. Like, you know, the features editor accidentally sent me a tweet from a guy that wants to have me fired, and, like, I've looked at his feed, and he's like, I'm so tired of these people using the word cisgender, and it's like, so this is why, this is the real reason that you're mad. You're mad because I acknowledge the fact that gender is a complicated thing that we have to continue having a conversation about. You're mad about that. Well, like, what do I do with that? What do I personally do with this? Like, hey, listen, for all I know, he's listening right now. I'm not mad at you. I'm tired of being mad. Like, that was sent to me, and I was like, God damn it, man, I'm just trying to live my life, trying to do my job. But, like, what is it? Why has this got you so heated? What is
because
the reason?
You're creating change. You're and I think at the end of the day, a lot of this has to do with the fact that a lot of people in their brains have created the social construct, this thing that exists, and whether it is the investment they have in their fandom and it's the one thing they have, or the investment they have in their life in general, and this idea of what they've learned and what is true and what does not exist. And many people, and the internet exacerbates this exponentially, is that when they have things that exist, sometimes people have a very, it's like learning a language when you're 35. Yeah. When you're 35 years old, it is much harder to learn Spanish or Italian, let alone a Arabic or Farsi.
Yeah.
When you're 5, you can learn 7 languages. So if you didn't learn a lot of this stuff, and that includes learning understanding and learning that you don't know everything and that learning will continue the rest of your life, that is a thing, that is a learned thing, then at 35 years old, when you have created all these social constructs in your life, think about it. How many people make new best friends at 35, 36, 37 years old? They don't. They have the same best friend they've had since they were 5 or 7, if they're lucky. So a lot of these folks, and you got to keep being the person you are. So that's the answer. The answer is you don't stop doing and saying what you're doing, because the only way people learn is that suddenly they realize and they wake up one day, they're the only person that believes this thing. Like,
but that's the problem. And this is what I like. It's never that, because especially with the internet and with social media, you can always find somebody else to support your point of view. And like,
yeah,
this is what, so this is like to Danny's point, you know, I have a problem with, as much as I despise what a lot of people did to Kelly Marie Tran, like, those people on the whole are probably not 100% monsters, right? Like, they are damaged people who have, and I even hate to say that because that's a judgment call, but there is something that is causing them to do this and to write it off as just they're assholes or they're,
no,
you know.
No, but there's no consequences for their actions.
Right.
I think that's
what
it is.
But what I'm saying is, like, that conversation, they're going to have that conversation regardless of whether it's with us
or with somebody
or whether it's with the people who support that point of view and are going to encourage them to go down that road. And so, like, on one hand, I agree, people have to adjust to change. Like, change is happening. You're going to have to do it. And I'm sorry. That's just the way it is. This is the world we live in, and this is the way that society is progressing.
Yeah, I didn't come out fully formed this way. Like, you know what I mean? I didn't come out the womb with the attitudes that I have. And, like, there's a lot of things when I was a kid. Think about it. Like, Think about the environment that you grew up in. Think about the environment that you grew up in. Think about that. Think about what your mentalities were. Think about what your biases were. And think about where you are now. Are you in the same spot? I bet you aren't. I know I'm not. And I don't look at this and think, like, here's the end of the road.
Right?
But it's a thing that you do every day until you're in the ground.
But
it's
think
a
about
constant.
Our country. Our country is not what it was when it was first founded. Women were not whole people. White men who didn't have land couldn't vote when this country was first formed. So let's go all the way back to an understanding that change does happen, constructs do continue, and I think people think this stuff happens in a vacuum, and it doesn't.
No, well, I guess the point I was trying to make is that, like, you're absolutely right, and change can be hard for some people, and harder for some people than others, and I think that there is a tendency on the part of those of us who are, like, down with it, you know, to, if someone resists, to be like, oh, to write that person off. Oh, you can't deal with this change. You're a jerk. You're an asshole. You're a racist. You're a misogynist. You're whatever. And I think that what then happens a lot is that these people are becoming radicalized because there's someone else online who's very willing to say, no, you're not. You're right. And let me tell you why, you know, and we don't want to have that conversation. I think we want to just say, okay, we write these people off a lot of the time. And as much as hard as it is, you know, and I have that tendency too to want to be like, you know what, screw that guy who wrote that thing on Kelly Marie Tran's Wikipedia page. That guy is a like horrible person. But can that person be reached? Is there a way to do that? Like, I don't like that's what we can't fix it by just cutting these people off, because someone else out there is not going to do that. Someone else out there is going to embrace them and say, that is right. And you were right to do that. And here's more stuff that you can do. And next thing you know, that person is a freaking, like, full on white supremacist. But I don't know. It's tough, because it's tough. It shouldn't be that we have to have that conversation.
The thing is, we don't have to have an all or nothing. This is not an all or nothing gambit in my mind, right? Because it's like, I see people say this all the time, and I say it too, where, like, somebody will do something and you'll be like, you know what? It's not my job to teach you empathy. It's not my job to teach you to understand this thing. And it might be on that day where I'm like, I can't. I cannot today.
Yeah.
But the thing is, there are going to be days where I do. I have the strength. Somebody, like, if I have it within me to say a thing, like, this is it. This is this. If you're asking, if you're saying these things, this is the response. And, like, almost certainly that person is going to be in the moment aggressive and nasty. But who knows what I'm not going to see, because that's just surface. I have no idea what's going to happen. But nobody has to feel like they have to handle it all the time. But if we all simultaneously say, I'm just not going to talk to the other ever, and under no circumstance, then I believe that we will all die stupid. That's it. I mean, like, we're so close. And again, like, we have got, the internet exists, social media exists, it's here now, so we have to find a way to use it. We have to figure something out, otherwise, like, you know, that 30% suicide rate is going to keep going up. It's not going to get better unless we try, unless we, you know, like, what I mean, like, what this is all about. Rose Tico, right? This that happened to her. It's literally in the movie. That's how we're going to win, not fighting what we hate, but saving what we love. Like, I don't know. I got to tell you, folks, like, I get really mad. I sometimes feel like I hate helping people, but I always end up doing it. Sometimes I do it by rote, but always once I'm once I'm helping people, I usually end up feeling pretty good. And I believe that by and large, I have to believe that most human beings care about other human beings. I don't think there's that many of us that don't care at all.
I just think the way we care about each other, the way that we're allies, has to be different. And I've said it before and I'll say it again. We need less allies and more accomplices. We need less people to say, you're right, and more people to go, can you walk me home, or can you speak up for me in that meeting, or can you take my side when you see people coming at me?
Sure.
Like, can you do just a little bit more, not quit your job and leave your family, and, you know, but a little bit more than just clicking a button. I think that might be what it is. And I think that little change, if a bunch of people do a little change, we might have bigger changes.
Right. I just, like, that's why I felt good about the fact, like, that hashtag that was like fan art for Rose was designed to do a lot of things, right? It wasn't just to shut down the conversation that was being cruel to Kelly Marie Tran. It was designed to let Kelly Marie Tran know that people love what she did and value her. And not only that, but it also says, like, hey, yes, we know that there is this segment of the fandom that is doing this specifically because they don't want women, people of color, and queer folks in the community. They don't want it in there. And here's what we're saying. We're already here, and we deserve to be here, and this has happened. And just like you can't take away the fact that social media exists, you cannot erase Rose Tico from those movies. She is there forever. Can't take it back. Yeah. And so those things were also happening, and I think that that's great, and that's it. I think that is sort of what you're talking about.
Yeah, but you can't take the salt out the stew.
Well, and I think it, and I think it's interesting because I actually was looking at somebody's Instagram. I'm not going to say which one it is, but they're a Marvel fandom Instagram, and they actually had a poll that was like, is there something wrong with Marvel? And he says, yes, it's women and people of color. No, everything's going great. I'm like, yo, why would you even have a poll?
Why are these the options?
Like, why would you even have a poll like that?
Because that's the issue. And that's,
it's like, it's feeding the
that's
monster.
How they get and that's personal responsibility.
You, why would you create that poll? Literally nothing good is going to come of that. The only thing that's going to come out of that is, like, I guess in the moment, you're going to get a bunch of
clicks and followers.
Yeah,
that's
people looking at it like, wow, you got a lot of impressions this day. I hope you can sleep at night because you have really done a lot of harm, and not just to other people, but you've ultimately hurt yourself. You've really stabbed yourself in the hand this way. I don't understand, like, how you thought a couple of extra impressions on one day was going to lead to something good for you down the line. It won't. Spoiler, it will not make things better for you. I guarantee it. Anyway, in the spirit of this thing that we said, where we all agreed that we should talk about things that, like, we do feel good that we want to support and, like, and trying to throw it in a positive direction, we all watched a couple episodes of Cloak and Dagger.
Hey.
And we all really, really liked it a lot. So why don't we talk about the show and what we liked about it?
One of the things I really, really liked about Cloak and Dagger, and for those of you who don't know, Cloak and Dagger was a comic. It was a comic book series. The characters themselves showed up in 1984 in a Spider-Man annual. I'm really a fan of this series. And even I was nervous because Freeform skews younger. So I was like,
you mean like us?
Yeah.
So
yes,
young.
I am a teenager. Yes.
Lockers, skateboards.
I really like what Gina Prince Blythewood, and she's not the only producer on this.
She directed the pilot.
And she's the co-executive producer of the whole show.
Yep.
So she set the tone. And for those of you who don't know, Gina Prince Blythewood directed Love and Basketball, Ace the Lights. So I think the two things that I really love about this show is that Cloak, who has the power of, basically, he's a walking portal. Like, he can take darkness and shadow and actually teleport himself and other people through it. He also is, his powers also are about truth and also your past deeds. He can make you look at your own fears, I'm sorry, and your past transgressions and things like that. And
which was really, it's really revolution in 1982. So
right.
So in 1982 when it first came out, and then in 1983 when they got their first origin series, you're looking at the height of the drug issues that were going on. There's a lot of problematic things, and we talked about this earlier, but the original comic book, and what I
really...
It was
like the war on drugs.
It was
the
war
thing,
on
Reagan
drugs.
Era.
It was looking at, you know, runaways and this whole idea of, if you run away from your family, this is what's going to happen to you. But then it was also looking at this idea that youth could come and be their own superheroes. And so this idea that Cloak and Dagger, who hadn't known each other before this, in the comic books were experimented on, but in this new series, it's set not in New York, it's set in New Orleans. And
because there's 357 people taking care of New York.
Right. So they're like, hey, New Orleans, all you really have is Brother Voodoo. Sorry, we're not even going to go there.
Oh, damn.
Sorry. But this concept where two young people are brought together, and this idea of an almost yin and yang combination where Cloak is got this dark force about him. He kind of like sucks the life out of things, and he's this vacuum, whereas in Dagger is this bright light, which again, problematic, but it's fine.
It was more problematic in the comics.
It was more problematic in 1983 in the comics, where it was this idea where Cloak literally fed off of Dagger. In the new show, they have done a lot better job of even the background of Cloak, who goes through this private school in New Orleans, and I for those who don't know, I'm from Louisiana, so my accent is probably going to come out in a second. But they set it against this amazing backdrop with this new idea of Roxxon being the kind of villain, and this idea where they bring in a lot of the issues that we're talking about now, where they bring in race, they bring in microaggressions against Tyrone, who is Cloak. They bring in this idea of a young woman dealing with a big company where her father's being blamed for this big off-war drilling issue, which is where their latent mutant powers come from.
Opioid abuse is even...
Yeah, opioid abuse, they deal with sexual assault. Like, there's a lot of heavy, really gritty issues that they deal with here.
And they don't gloss over them. They don't just toss, hey, that happened, this happened.
Well, it's much more, I mean... I'm a couple episodes behind you guys. I think a few people here have seen four. I've only seen two. And in the first two episodes, like, the superhero element is actually very minimal. It's about the characters, and it's all about the character building and what they're going through and the issues they're facing. And I have said this before when we talked about the Netflix shows, like, I am here for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When Marvel does that. I'm a little wary, because what I don't tend to like is when the comic book elements really come on strong and suddenly we're in a completely different, like, more cartoony universe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm hoping that this show, and it seems like so far it's taking its time.
Yeah. It does.
Letting you get to know the characters and really become invested in them.
Well, and I like the way they utilize the idea that they're adolescent in almost, it's almost like a puberty type thing in the way they're getting their powers. Like, they're like, what is this thing? How do I use it? I don't know. How do you use yours? Like, it's, well, that did
we
not
all
come
had
out
that conversation
the right way.
Yeah,
the weirdest version of playing Doctor I ever heard.
And you were worried about me talking about touching and Bumblebee.
Hey! But it's, I think you're absolutely right. There's this character development, and it extends outside of Cloak and Dagger. And that's the really cool thing, is because you get to know their friends, their parents. You get to know Priest Delgado, Father Delgado, who is a key pinnacle role.
He's a badass priest.
He is dope, man. Tatted up and everything. But it's also from the original comic book. And you actually get to see how they are a product of their community, but also how they are coming into their own in a very real way based upon their experiences as humans. And I think that's very different from what we generally see in superhero shows, where it's like, oh, your parents died. Great. That means you're damaged. You want to save the world. Awesome. But in this one, it's like, oh, you're dealing with microaggressions. You're dealing with being in the South. You're dealing with this being a constant struggle with your mother. And like, from the beginning, there is this foundation that's laid on key events that happen to both these kids as they grow up and become adolescents.
And it's just, again, I give this to Gina Prince Bythewood, just that humanization of these characters. Yep. And not like, hey, there's the powers and there's the thing. I love how he's just randomly confused, can't figure out, like, where, okay, that didn't work. Okay, that worked. Wait, how did I get here?
Why am I in a trunk?
With cocaine, like, how? But also the fact that they both are using, I know, they're both connected to their powers also mentally. Wherever they mentally are, that's where it will put them, which is also very very X-Men-y. So I don't know, because in the comics, the reason why the drug that they are given kills all these other kids, it doesn't kill them because
they're
X-Men. They didn't know they're mutants, and then, but this has not been brought up in the show or not.
No,
I don't think it can be, because it's not the same license.
It's not.
Well, it's not the same license, and I don't think they're going to bring up X-Men, but they may bring up the fact that, you know, there was something in them already existing before the explosion, which is why they were saved from the explosion. But I think this is also very interesting in that, similar to X-Men, we don't see this in a lot of other superhero stories, but their emotions right now are why their powers are kicking in. They have no clue what to do with what is happening. And I think that's that's the humanization. Like, if you suddenly woke up with powers tomorrow, Danny, like, how would you feel about it? Like, would you be like, I have daggers in my hand. What do I do now?
Yeah. If Danny woke up with powers, I would be like Lawrence Fishburne in Event Horizon. We're leaving.
Wow.
We're leaving.
Because you know what? He was the only one that had a good sense of what to do,
and no one wanted to listen.
No one wanted to listen. Because Danny would be killing everybody.
That's completely untrue.
I mean, what if Danny's power was like, you know, making trees grow. We're not saying he would randomly
start
killing.
You know what I'm thinking of,
killing.
The wilds, the moment she said
okay,
trees.
Okay. Oh, yeah, zombie tree situation, zombie plants. Anyway, so...
Did you like it?
Danny, the boy with all the gifts.
That's me, all of them. Yeah, I loved it. I thought it was really great.
Really? Okay. I'm not saying I thought you'd hate it, but I haven't literally heard your take on it.
So Cloak and Dagger, I would say, I mean, like, this is the thing. My position on it is that you need to stick with it the first four episodes because, you're not really getting a full sense until you're four deep. I really do think you need to see all four. And, like, once it's there, once they are, like, really truly in the room talking about this stuff, that to me is when the game changes.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the best stuff. And, like, but I appreciate and respect and understand why they're sort of taking their time. You know what it actually reminds me of a little bit, as you were talking about it, and the fact that they're going to be dealing with real life issues in a way that it's not, like, necessarily always about, like, the powers first. It's about, like, what those powers represent in the context of what they're dealing with. It reminds me a lot of the old Bill Bixby Incredible Hulk stuff, actually. Like, that is what sort of jumps at me. Like, because that's what it was. Like, they
talk
very specifically.
Emo.
Yeah, like, I mean, that's like the saddest, like, doo, 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 doo,
sad Hulk doo, doo, doo. Music.
But yeah, like, that show is like.
We're gonna go to karaoke. We're going to get drunk. We're going to sing all the themes to all the shows that made
it
sad.
Can we actually do. We just do SAG Hulk music because it's not going to be there.
It's
harmonize with each other and just step up
that's
on stage.
It, and make up lyrics. He's very sad. He's walking down the street. Anyway, he's got a green dude to meet. Anyway, all right. So, like, that show was very specifically, like, that's why, like, they didn't call him Bruce Banner. Like, that's why they didn't really deal with the other superheroes that much. That was really just, like, he was the Hulk, and the hulking out represented something different in a context of what was going on. And, like, what he was dealing with, the people around him were dealing with. And I kind of see some of that DNA in Cloak and Dagger, you know, but it's great. I mean, like, you know, like, Banner didn't have an ally in that show. I think it's great that you have these two very different people because they bring a different sensibility, each one of them.
Well,
and
I,
like,
think it's even better than that. So I was talking last night, spoiler alert, I was with some of the cast last night, and that's not
some
a spoiler
of the cast.
Alert. That's
Please.
Totally on the
I was
internet.
Say it's all over
Whatever.
The social media that you did a live stream.
What are you talking about?
Cast.
So I was with Aubrey and Olivia.
You're just trying to say you're
and
better than
Miles.
This.
That is not tomfoolery. No, but Miles, who plays Otis, which I really love his character as a dad. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just the fact that there is this father figure and this mother figure, and Gloria Rubin
is everything.
Gloria Rubin is everything. Like, you ER was already ER, but now you just, I'm just like, why are
you know
such
what?
A bad A woman? Like,
Gloria
you're
Rubin
amazing.
Is a hero to me because she left ER to go on tour with Tina Turner.
I mean, but that's real. And she still has those legs. But Gloria Rubin is and Miles coming in as these parent figures who are both human and they are both trying to raise this son with this idea of police violence in the South is just it's this. So they're not even just it's like Olivia and Aubrey, Cloak and Dagger, Tyrone and Tandy are these partners in crime. And partners in solving crime, I guess it's better to say it. But you also have this influence of these family structures and how they impact them. So you get this bigger picture of their lives.
Yeah, I appreciate that Tyrone has got friends. Like, I feel like it's kind of nice that he has, like, at least
except
a
when he gets his ass beat.
Yeah, but he kind of has, like, a
those, like, aren't his friends.
He has there's another young woman in his life that
you,
is that is not Tandy.
She is amazing.
She's
and
great.
Thing, can I just say
she's
for a
great.
Minute that
and
in
adorable.
A, in an
she's,
X-Men
she's
way
world,
in an X-Men way that I'm very happy that they don't have Tyrone and Tandy together romantically. In the comics they did that about 2010 and I hated that. I want them.
I think it's much better for them to
be. Yeah, I want them to have
allies.
Their own lives.
I think it's gonna go that road eventually. It's gonna
happen. I can't
have
say
to.
Anything. No. But I'm saying that because of it's like a Mulder and Scully thing. Like, I was so angry when they got together. Like, I want you to be partners But and I get that,
I predict that your hopes and dreams are going to be dashed. It's Freeform. It's Gina. Yeah, Did you not watch Love and Basketball?
I mean, they are doing the thing where like they. I mean, like you know, if they touch each other, like it's highly questionable.
That's a Hancock thing. If they touch each other, they get.
Yeah, and it also makes me think of with the pie maker where like he couldn't touch
his daisies.
Which is only
going to increase the attraction. You guys, come on!
I'm aware of what that means.
I will say this then: in the development of their characters,
yes.
I'm glad that they're not together because all I can think of is
it. They don't have to jump right to it.
Shadowhunters were like. Clary and Jace jumped into it, and then they found they were brother and sister, and it was like, ew! And then they're like, wait, we're not. Oh, so we're back together. Like, I don't want all that.
I'll tell you what I want.
I want the power pack to show up.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
There was a crossover with the Runaways, though.
That's actually what I would really, really just like, come on, guys. I understand it's Freeform and Hulu, but I really need, I need this to happen.
I think they're the
patron saints of Runaways.
But it would be very different from the comic book, though, because in the comic book Runaways, Cloak and Dagger were older at that point. So they were kind of like the wiser, like
the mentors.
Let us show you the ways of being, you know, runaway kids. And now they're all the same age.
I like it when there's a lot of non-powered people, though. That's the thing that I enjoy. It makes Static Shock. He had like all of his friends that didn't have powers. I feel like Miles has also got like his friends that don't have powers. It's the
Coulsons of the world that you like, the people that don't have power. I like Coulson.
How did you manage to loop in Coulson
because,
in this conversation?
He has a powered arm. Yeah, but he didn't originally.
Wasn't there a Dark Force dimension reference on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Yeah, there was.
In fact, the Dark Force winds its way around the Marvel universe a lot.
So there's a connection there too. Maybe Coulson will show up on Cloak and Dagger.
Does that mean that Coulson can actually travel? No, I know.
The Avengers don't even know he's still alive. So like, I don't know how we're going to do that.
The showrunner has mentioned though that of the Infinity War, there might be like some thing having to do with Infinity War. I think they don't know yet how they're going to connect it to the larger universe. They're just kind of like,
well, sure. I mean, they don't know what they're doing. Legion doesn't know if they can mention any X-Men stuff. Really,
yeah, so I do real. No, we don't I even do know if Legion's can, in someone's brain right now. So we're not even going to. Just Legion's a whole other world.
But I do think they could connect Avengers to S.H.I.E.L.D. and Captain Marvel because at the end of Avengers, remember before he saw the Captain Marvel logo, there was a sword logo, and sword and shield all. So I swear that was a sword logo that popped up on that screen before you saw Captain Marvel.
I'm gonna have to go watch it again and see if it was a sword, but I know what you're talking about.
No, not a sword. The sword. Sword the entity. Remember how sword was off world?
Man, I got to go back and
see
that.
That's what I'm saying. So if he goes back and if they have sword and shield and they time travel.
I was too caught up with the fact that he had a two-way pager. I'm so sorry. Like, I literally was like, oh, it's a drug deal. No, it's not. Oh, wait, it's Captain Marvel.
You are stupid.
What's the last time you saw somebody with a two-way pager? I'm just saying.
The world ends.
Speaking of Cloak and Dagger and drugs.
You said beat me.
Beat me. Isn't that the Buffy line?
If the world ends, beat me.
Yeah. I think that's what she says. Anyway.
Escalated quickly.
It's fine. That's totally fine. Listen, I think we can all agree that like talking about Cloak and Dagger makes us excited. We liked it. We all liked it. We all felt that like it's doing the kind of stuff that we want a show to do.
And I would also suggest that everybody go back and read the 1983 comics, even though they're problematic. They're beautiful.
But I will say
they're gorgeous.
The interesting thing is that I think if this show, you know, I was actually a fan of the Cloak and Dagger comics, and they've changed so much, and I don't care. I think it's great. I think that the changes they've made have all been really smart and thoughtful, and I mean, for those diehard Cloak and Dagger fans who are out there, I don't know how many there are. It never struck me as a title
some.
That had like really hardcore fans, but yeah.
We heard from them last night.
Don't be afraid. You know, just because there's a lot of changes does not mean that it's not good.
Well, I think there's a point where if you make enough, you either got to change it or leave it alone.
Right.
And I think they decided, well, if we're going to change it, we're just going to
change it.
But there is still, I think I like the fact that they changed it, but still honored some of the original comic stuff.
Very much.
Like in the comics, when they run away, they do end up in the water.
Mm-hmm.
They do end up like in the Hudson River. There's a Father Delgado. There's a there's an abandoned church. There's an abandoned church. There's like dream walking. There's so there's things where there are elements and moments there that parallel. Yeah. I like the fact they were switched. And the last thing I'll say is, I love the fact that as children in the show, the first when their powers do manifest as kids, the first thing that she sees is darkness. The first thing that he sees is light. Because in the comics, there was always that hint of there was light and darkness in both of them, which is why I can't remember who it is, Morlock, somebody switched them later.
Mm.
Yes. And,
but, which I don't think that went well, but I like the fact that they can each, like you said, it's more of a yin and yang here, push-pull, and I like that. I do like that. And
Cloak spent a lot of time being messed up after that
switch. It's been a minute that since I've been excited about a superhero TV show. And I'm excited about this. I think this and I'm looking forward to Luke Cage are going to do it this summer. I really think these are going to be two shows.
Cool. All right. Well, we did it. Congratulations, everybody. We talked about things for quite a time, and now the time is over. So if you listen to this podcast, first of all, thank you for listening to the podcast. Very kind of you. If you are not subscribed to the podcast, please subscribe to the podcast. Leave a review. A nice one, please. That would be great. See, look at that. Anjali just did it with her. I mean, it wasn't real, but pretend that she did it for real. And join in. Please listen to the other podcasts that we have here at the Sci-Fi Wire. Strong Female Characters, The Churn, Colony Podcast, and The Fandom Files, which you have to say it the way that Jordan says it. It's very important.
And the shows, the two you guys are on.
Yes, and those shows, Geeksplain and Untold Story, which are available through your friendly neighborhood Alexa. On Amazon. You can check those out. And of course, we want to hear what you think about all this stuff, Cloak and Dagger and Kelly Marie Tran and all the trailers that came out. If there's ones that we didn't talk about that you liked, maybe you saw that Breaks the Internet one. That was pretty good too. There's a lot of other stuff that came out. Suspiria, tell me about it. Very curious. But only say nice things. No, say whatever you want. Before we wrap up, where can people, all these people that are listening to this podcast, find each of you online? Angelique, where can people find you?
You can find me at Angelique Roche. That's AngeliqueRoche on the Twitters. And you can find me at A_GeliqueE on Instagram.
Cool.
You can find me, Karma, the Blur Girl, TheBlurGurl, everywhere, all across social media, but y'all know I get mail on Twitter.
And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at RockTheFaces.
And my name is Danny Roth, and you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Danny Ordinary. That is Danny with one N, Ordinary, also with one N. This has been Who Won the Week. Thank you for winning our week, and we'll see you again next week.